One of my favorite shows is Alone. Anybody ever seen that, Alone? There's been about 12 different seasons of it, and it is a wilderness survival show, reality show. And what they do is they put about 10 contestants out in the middle of nowhere. They give them a bag full of about 10 different survival supplies and a giant crate of camera gear, and they have to videotape themselves, and the goal is to last longer than anybody else. And if you last the longest, you win $500,000, which sounds awesome, but could you survive out in the wilderness for 90 days with nothing but those 10 items? That's kind of the challenge. And every single season has the same kind of people. There's always that one that at the beginning, way overconfident dude. He's usually jacked. He's like a former Marine. He's like, I can do this. I was born for this. They're usually the first person that taps out. I was like, I miss my wife, whatever. Like, I got to go home. And there's always some guys that have been in the woods for way too long. They got the giant beard. And they're like, I'm just going to live out here the rest of my life. And they just love being out in the wilderness. And there's also some hippie people that always make it into every season. And they're the ones that are, they're like, oh, I just want to be one with nature. And I'm going to eat berries and grass. And I'll just survive. And like, they do not make it very long. It's brutal being out in the wilderness all by yourself. And so that's why, like Mindy said, today we're beginning a series called Clayton's Wilderness Survival School. In fact, we got the logo all ready for you as well. But we're not going to be talking about actually going out into the wilderness and how to survive. But what does it look like to be out into a spiritual wilderness? This month, we're going to look at four different stories of people in the Bible, some New Testament, some Old Testament, who found themselves in a really difficult spot. Yes, actually physically being out in the wilderness, but also in a spiritual wilderness. You guys know what that's like. Well, you're asking, God, where are you? God, I feel so distant from you. I don't know what's going on. My relationships are falling apart. Everything's stacking up in my life. It is not supposed to be this way. Temptation is bombarding me. I don't like this. I don't know what to do. I'm asking for your help, and I feel alone. Man, I'm telling you this. I speak from as one with experience in this moment. I've been in those moments in my life where even, especially as a pastor, I have to fake being full. You know what I'm talking about? Where you walk around, and everybody's high-fiving you. How's life going? You're like, oh, man, it's awesome and amazing. And, man, I just feel like I'm in a desert spiritually. I'm asking God, where are you? I don't know if you're like me, but I feel like every single one of us has either gone through one of those experiences or we're in the middle of it right now. And we can learn a lot from what the Bible has to say about wilderness survival techniques. So today, we're going to look at probably the most famous moment in the wilderness in the New Testament, which is when Jesus found himself in the wilderness for 40 days. Now, this moment is very unique because he's the Son of God. He's God himself, and yet he was also in a wilderness moment. And so the question for today is, what can I learn from Jesus' wilderness experience? Well, if you want to know, turn to Matthew chapter 4. That's where we'll be at today. We're going to look through this passage and just kind of walk through it and learn from it, from Jesus' example. So let's look at it, starting in verse 1. Here's what it says. It says, Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. First thing I realize is that if Jesus was sent into the wilderness to be for a purpose, his purpose was to be tested. The Holy Spirit sent him in the wilderness to be tested. If he went through that, you can bet that you will be sent into the wilderness to be tested as well. That's part of God's plan for your life, is to test you in the wilderness. Now, there's a big difference between being tested and being tempted. And we see in verse 1 here that it says that he was led by the Spirit, meaning that the Spirit of God sent the Son of God to be tested for a purpose in the wilderness, but he was not tempted by the Spirit. You see, the devil is going to tempt him. God does not tempt anyone. In fact, that's what James 1:13 says, that God never tempts anybody. That's not his nature. It's the devil's nature to tempt us. I also need to say that we need to realize that it's not a sin to be tempted. I don't know if that kind of shocks you today, but it's not a sin to be tempted, because think about it. If Jesus was tempted, and yet he is without sin. He is perfect, as the Bible says and the Bible shows. Then, you know what? Being tempted is not a sin, but giving into temptation, now that's a sin. And we see how Jesus interacted in this moment with the devil. First thing I realize about this passage is that the devil's the one who tempts us. The devil tempts us to break us. But God doesn't do that. God tests us to build us up. And it's the exact same moment, and it's important to recognize the two differences right there. And so God is actually building up Jesus through this testing to prepare him for something even bigger. And we'll look at that later. In fact, James chapter 1, verse 3 actually says that, "For you know that when your faith is tested," your faith is going to be tested, "that your endurance has a chance to grow." If your faith is never tested, you're never going to build up the strength and the endurance to do bigger and better things. And so this is what's happening to Jesus in this moment. It can happen to your life as well. Let's look at verse 2. Verse 2, it says that for 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. Now that is the most like obvious statement probably in all of Scripture, that Jesus didn't eat for 40 days and he was hungry. Of course he was hungry. Can you imagine being going without food for 40 days? Some of you guys had breakfast and you're already starving, you know? Like you're worried about what's next, like what are we going to have? I got to dig in my purse and find something else to eat in this moment because I'm not going to be able to make it for the next 30 minutes. Can you imagine for 40 days going without food? Can you imagine what Jesus looked like physically? What was going on inside his body? What's going on mentally with him? Without food for 40 days. And in this moment, Jesus was tempted. This moment of weakness. I would say it's probably the most vulnerable time that we see in Jesus' life. Jesus was tempted in this moment. He was at his weakest. He was hungry. He was hungry. And I realized the second thing about the wilderness, that the wilderness is where you will find what you're hungry for. You will. You will search after the thing that you're most hungry for. And you will probably find yourself doing some things, being a part of some things, find yourself in certain situations you never thought you would do. A couple of weeks ago, I've told you all this before, but a couple weeks ago, I got to go on this awesome hunting trip up into Colorado. And it was like backcountry. We are miles from civilization. There's no one around. We're way up high in the mountains and with some of my friends, and we had to pack everything with us. So each day we would pack in these giant packs, and we would hike up in the mountains. And guys, it was just brutal. And we had to bring all of this gear with us. And we would, like the very first day, we hiked up, and guys, I was done like the first day. And my buddies were in way better shape than I was. And I was like, guys, we've got to stop. I got to take my boots off. I got to rest. And, you know, and we get up this mountain and it's lunchtime. And so, man, I was starving. Let me just show you what I ate the first day. Okay. In fact, almost every day, I ate one of these. And so some of you guys are going to know what this is. But this is an MRE. Okay. A meal ready to eat. It's for the military. If you've been in the military, you've probably eaten one of these. But I was up there in the mountains all alone, and I was starving. And so I took this, I opened it up. Inside, it's got this like little chemical heater. You can put your food little packets in there and heat up the food. But you're supposed to wait 15 minutes for it to warm up. And guys, I was starving. I was like, I'm not going to wait. 5 minutes is good enough. And it's got weird stuff in there, like these weird crackers and cheese. It's weird. But there's always like a main dish in here. In fact, this is one of the actual ones that I had. Menu item, it's menu number one. It is chili with beans, okay? Government chili with beans, okay? This is government food right here. And so I opened it. I didn't wait long enough to heat it all up. I was starving. So I opened up the chili packet, and I looked at it, and I realized I'm probably going to be looking at the same thing a couple hours later. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, it was just, I'll tell you what, I ate lukewarm, room temperature, government chili with beans, and I ate all of it. Guys, I was licking the spoon. I ate every single thing in here because I was starving. Like, I did not care what it was like. I was hungry for something. And in this moment, Satan the devil is going to ask Jesus, hey, Jesus, what are you hungry for? I know you're starving. What are you hungry for? But in this moment, we're going to learn that Jesus was actually more hungry for God than a really good steak, okay? He was so hungry for God that it changed his relationship. It changed his situation and dynamic with Satan's temptation. You see, what's going to happen in your life is there's going to be a time of testing. And God is going to ask, when you're in the wilderness, hey, am I enough? Am I enough for you? Do you truly find joy in me alone? Do you find completeness in me alone? Am I enough? The devil's going to come in and say, is God really enough? Like, seriously, is God enough? He's not enough, man. Just compromise a little bit. No one will know about it. Just compromise. Come here. Let me get you alone for a minute. Let me isolate you for a minute. Let me make you an easy target for a minute. In this moment, it's so important to realize that, yes, God may be testing us, but the devil is actually trying to tempt us in this moment and get us to sin. And so what are we supposed to do? Well, the Bible teaches us in 1 Peter what we're supposed to do. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, here's what you need to do. You need to stay alert. And you need to watch out for what's going on around you. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He is not your friend. He does not want the best for you. He will try to trick you into doing things that go against God and God's nature and God's relationship with you. He wants to trip you up. Says he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So here's what you got to do. You need to stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. How do you begin to stand firm and be strong? Well, you do it by building up endurance. You see, God wants you to wake up when you're in the wilderness, and he wants you to get strong. He wants you to grow so that the next wilderness moment, you're even more prepared. Here's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants you to give him an inch, just a tiny bit. Just give me an inch. Just give in just a little bit. And what he does, he grabs your heel. Before long, he's got both legs, and then he gets on your back, and he will devour you and then spit you out. In other words, he wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your relationships. He wants you to be destroyed as a believer in Christ and your reputation. He wants to trip you up. So what are you supposed to do? Let me give you a good example here. For all those of you who are married in this room, or those of you who want to be married someday, you boys, I'm talking to you four, okay? I'm just kidding. All right. So if you want to be married someday, or you are married, you got to realize there's going to be wilderness times, right? I mean, if you're a newlywed in this room, you're like, it's not going to be us. It's going to be, y'all are hugging. I can see you up there. Like, everything's going to be perfect. I can see those you've been married for a while. You're like, can you leave me alone? Right? I mean, there's times, right? You're going through the wilderness. There's moments where it's not easy. And there are times where you want to give in, or you want to get out. So how do you affair-proof your marriage? This passage will teach you how to do it. Here's a simple way that you affair-proof your marriage. One, you become desperately hungry for God. Both of you, separately, in your own personal relationship and as a family. You get desperately hungry for God, and he will meet the needs that you're searching after. But in the same way, you also need to get hungry for your spouse. Meet their needs. Take care of them. Hunger for them and hunger for God, I'm telling you what, it will save somebody's marriage in here. Jesus' example of being hungry for God instead of just giving in to the things that are so easy in front of us. You're going to go through the wilderness. But God doesn't want you to stay there. The goal is not just stay in the wilderness your whole life. God wants you out of that wilderness and to grow from it. In fact, what he does is God gives you an escape plan for every wilderness, spiritual wilderness that you find yourself in. The Bible says it in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that when you are tempted, here's what's going to happen. God, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. In essence, what God does is when you go into the wilderness, he says, I do have some some survival items, some survival supplies for you to be able to get through this wilderness journey. When I was on that hunt, each day I had this big backpack and I had a bunch of different survival gear. We had to take everything with us. Can you imagine being up in the wilderness like that? And it's all on you. Like, there is nobody that's going to rescue you. And so you got to make sure you have everything you need. And I brought a bunch of different survival items, probably too many. That's why my pack was like 60 pounds or whatever. But here's a couple of items that I had in there to survive. I had my trusty little first aid kit for all my little boo-boos, okay? So there's some right there. I also brought this knife, this multi-tool. Got a knife, got a pliers in it. So that was really handy. Let's see. I got my trusty lighter, for being able to start a fire if I need to. This is a cool one I brought. Didn't have to use it, thank goodness, but this is like a signal thing, mirror. I'm shining everybody's light, right? Everybody's face right now. So got that in case you had to signal for help. And one of the coolest things that I brought, didn't have to use this, was this emergency blanket. You ever seen one of these? It's a tiny little thing. It's made out of foil, but if you unwrap it, it's a full body length, and it will save your life if you have to stay overnight up in the mountains in the cold. Jesus also had these survival skills. He had these survival supplies with him when he was in the wilderness. Like, you've got to have those things. You got to be prepared for when that wilderness comes. So let's go back to the text and see what kind of survival supplies that Jesus actually had. Verse 3, here's what happened. It says, during that time, the devil, he came to Jesus and said to him, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, if you really are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. He's saying, Jesus, I know you're starving. I know you're hungry. I know your deepest need in this moment, man. Just cut some corners. Get on with it. Don't trust in God. Trust in me. I got you. I got your back. Just make these... Get this momentary satisfaction. Just give in. And here's what Jesus says. No. The scriptures say. Now he's going to say this multiple times in this story. He's going to look to scripture. Here's what he says. He quotes scripture and says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And he quotes Deuteronomy 8:3 in this moment. He says, no, it's not about being filled physically. I am trusting in God the Father in this moment. I want him more than food. And the devil says, okay, let me crank it up a little bit, all right? Verse 5, and the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. And he said, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, jump off, man. Just go for it. God's going to save you. In fact, let me quote some scripture to you, Jesus. He says, for the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus, haven't you read Psalm 91? That's what he's doing. He's quoting Psalm 91. He was misquoting Psalm 91. He was taking God's truths and God's word, and he was twisting it. And that happens all the time, right? People will do that in your life. You know, you've always been taught that that's what the Bible says, but let me tell you what God's really like. We'll do that personally. We'll read something, and we can take it, and we come with these crazy beliefs by taking scripture out of context, not what it's actually talking about. We can twist it, and that's exactly what the devil's doing in this moment. Look, jump off. God's got you. Don't you trust him? Test God. And I promise you, he says he will come through. Here's what Jesus says. The scriptures also say, like, I love that. Jesus is like, well, hey, scriptures also say something else. He says, you must not test the Lord your God. Like, we test God all the time, don't we? Especially in the wilderness. God, if you don't come through and fix this, then you don't really love me. If you don't come through and fix this, and you're not really who I think you are. You're not really what the Bible says you are. Look, here's what Jesus says. Whether God gets you out of the wilderness today or tomorrow, he's still God. Trust in him alone. Not in your circumstance, not in your situation. Trust in God alone. Deuteronomy 6:16, he quotes that. So the devil's like, man, I got to crank it up to the highest level. So here's what he does in verse 8. It says, next the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he says, I will give it all to you, Jesus, if you will just kneel down and worship me. Jesus, man, it's all yours. Just, no one will know. Just compromise just a little bit. Just give me a little bit of trust. I will come through in your life. Trust me. This was Jesus' response. I love it. He says, get out of here, okay? He's like, get out, right? Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Jesus said, it's not about me, but the Father in this moment. And he quotes Deuteronomy 6:14, and it says, because of what Jesus had, these survival supplies of God's word, he had ready and available. It says that the devil went away and angels came and they took care of him. Now, I'm speculating here a little bit, but I don't know if, like, Jesus, before he goes into the wilderness for 40 days, if he had been doing some special, like, Deuteronomy devotional or something, I don't know. But, like, he's quoting Deuteronomy a whole lot in this moment. I mean, it's just continually coming to his mind. Satan is tempting him. He's saying, man, I just read the scriptures. The scriptures say this, and he's fighting against them. And it helped me to realize this third thing, that if Jesus needed God's truth in the wilderness, look, so do you. And so do I. You may think you're strong, but you're not. Jesus himself needed God's truth in that moment. And the Bible talks a ton about us leaning in on scripture in the moments, in our deepest moments, in our most vulnerable moments. In fact, Psalm 119 talks about it. Verse 9 says, how can a young person stay pure? It's this hypothetical question that the writer says. Now, it's not just talking about young people and they're the ones that are the worst and always given temptation. It's talking about people that are vulnerable. People that have not gone through it multiple times. They've not grown. They don't have that strength, that endurance yet. How does a rookie stay pure? And he answers himself. He says, by obeying your word. He goes on to describe, how do you get to a place where you're actually obeying God's word, especially in the wilderness? And he says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Can I tell you how important that is? Look, not just having the ability to Google verses, but actually knowing scripture. Because there's going to be some mountain moments, some wilderness moments in your life where there is no cell phone reception, okay? Right? You're not going to be able to get out and Google, hey, what is that verse? I mean, I'm going through this right now. I mean, there's going to be some times where you need to know God's word. You're not going to have the scriptures right in front of you, and you need to have God's word in your heart. It is so important. In fact, this chapter goes on. It's many, many verses long, but in verse 105, here's what it says. Your word is a lamp. It's like a flashlight. It's a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Here's the truth, guys. When you're in the wilderness, sometimes it's going to be dark. It's going to be scary. You're going to feel completely isolated and completely alone. Every single day we were hunting, we would hunt till it was dark. And in the mountains, I don't know what's going on in the mountains, but it gets dark quick. Like, there's no sunset where you're just kind of sitting and watching. All of a sudden, the sun just goes behind a mountain, and everything, the whole valley, it just starts getting dark really quick. And there was one day where we were walking through some deep woods, and it was like Sleepy Hollow kind of, like Halloween kind of woods. And there was no moon, so it gets pitch black out there. And I was hiking with my buddy Brad, and he's in front of me, and I'm walking behind. It's getting darker and darker. And he pulled out his flashlight and he just kept going. And I had to stop because I couldn't see in front of me anymore. And I was like, where's my flashlight? And so I'm like looking through my pack and I'm kind of starting to freak out a little bit. And it becomes pitch black and I don't have my flashlight. And I'm in the dark. I'm trying to find it. And I realized I am completely alone. And I looked around and all I could remember in that moment was all of the bear signs, like the scratches on all the trees that we were seeing. And I'm like, there are bears everywhere and they're coming. wanted to kill me and eat me. And so I'm like, ah. And so in that moment, I'm going through, and I finally found this, my trusty headlamp. Guys, I got it. And I was like, oh, praise the Lord. And I put this on. I know I look like an idiot, but that's okay. And I turned it on. And guys, in that moment, everything changed. All of a sudden, I wasn't as scared anymore. Before, I was like, it's like a mind over matter moment when you're in the dark and you're going, everything is fine. You're like walking as fast as you can, right? You know, like don't look around. Have you ever been hiking out in the middle of nowhere? It's pitch black and you turn around. You realize there's miles behind you and all sorts of animals that want to kill you, right? I mean, it's just that's what's going on. And so when I had this light on, everything changed. All of a sudden, I could see in front of me. There was safety, or at least I felt safer. I was able to get out of the situation that I was in. Look, here's the truth. Being in the wilderness does not mean that you're defeated. It just means that you're being tested. And what you're hungry for, the thing that you desire the most, it's going to come to the surface. And it's either going to lead you to sin, or it's going to lead you to the Savior. Okay? In that moment. And so you got to be prepared when Satan tempts you. How do you get prepared? What are the things you need to be prepared for? Let me give you a couple of ideas. One of them is you need a partner with you. Look, there's nothing like walking through the woods with someone else. It changes everything. All of a sudden, you do not feel isolated and alone. You have someone that can pick you up and help you, and vice versa. Some of you guys are going through some wildernesses all by yourself, and you think you can handle it, and you can't. You need to tell somebody. Whether that's a spouse, whether that's a friend, you need to go have lunch with them and say, look, I'm struggling with this. I'm hurting. I'm in this moment. Can you hold me accountable? Can you help me? Can you walk with me? Can you pray with me? It can make all of the difference if you have someone with you. Some of you guys are riding high right now, and you're like, man, this is good information, but life is pretty awesome right now. Me and Jesus, we're tight. Well, here's what I suggest that you do. That you make it a habit to spend quality time with him while everything is good. And you build this habit of walking with him, because there's going to come a day where it's going to be dark, and it's going to be scary, and you're going to be isolated and alone and tempted, and you need to have that rhythm of walking continually with Jesus. You need to hide God's word in your heart. This week, some of y'all haven't opened this in a long time. You need to get it out. God, teach me, show me, speak to me. Read it. Find some verses. Highlight your Bible up. Guys, it's okay to highlight your Bible. I promise you. God will be okay. All right? Write in it. Study it. Circle things. Take a picture of it. Memorize it. Hide it in your heart. Because there's going to come a day when you don't have this readily available. You don't have this readily available. What are you going to do when you're in the darkest moment of your life? We'd be able to recall that. Here's something else I love about Jesus' wilderness moment. It's that, did you know that this moment in Matthew 4 changed your life? It changed your life because Jesus was being prepared for something. In fact, James 1:12 says that God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. God blesses those who are going through the difficult things in life. What does that mean? It means that God is preparing them for something bigger. Did you know that Jesus in the wilderness was preparation for Jesus in the garden? And Jesus on the cross. And Jesus taking your nails on your behalf. Getting up on the cross and dying for you. God the Father was preparing God the Son to get up on the cross to die for you. Do you know him? Have you accepted that free gift we call salvation? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus? Some of you guys haven't. And like I'm telling you, you're walking your entire life in darkness, hoping that you can get out. And Jesus is offering a way. I prepared myself for you. I've endured these things for you. I have paid the ultimate price for you. I love you that much. Have you trusted in Christ to save you from your sins? He will. It's a free gift, but you got to receive it. And all of a sudden, he can become your Savior. It's important to realize that Jesus is Savior, but he's also a seasoned veteran. He's a seasoned veteran for these wilderness moments that you're going to go through. In fact, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, let me end with this. It says, since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, since he's gone through the wilderness, he is able to help us when we are being tested. Since Jesus went through the wilderness, he's able to help us when we're going through the wilderness. The truth is that your testing is tough, but it is temporary. And I don't know who needs to hear this today, but someone needs to hear that you're not alone. He's there next to you. He's giving you a way out. Will you trust in him? Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his sacrifice on the cross to pay for our sins. I pray for anyone in this room who's never trusted in Christ. Lord, if we do anything today, we need to pause and give people an opportunity to put their faith in Jesus. Lord, you are your Savior and Lord. You got up on the cross and died for us. I pray if anyone needs to receive Jesus today as Lord and Savior, they need to stop walking in darkness all alone. They need to stop trying to earn their way to eternity in heaven. Instead, trust in you today. I pray that today might be the day that they repent of their sins and trust in you in turn. And God, you receive them. You change them. You give them a new heart. Holy Spirit, you come and reside in their spirit and change them from the inside out and save them from their sins, Lord. So thankful for so many in this room who've trusted in Jesus. The truth is Jesus went through the wilderness. You and I, God, we're all going to go through the wilderness. Some of us are deep in it right now. Sin is rampant. Habits are terrible. Relationships are broken. We feel distant from you, God. Why? God, in the middle of our asking, in the middle of our concern, we pray that we'd feel your presence. Jesus, you have been through the wilderness, so you know what we're going through. I pray, God, that we would sense your presence this week. We would trust in you anew. We would get into your word. We would find hope from your truths. We would hide it in our hearts. God, may it be weapons to fight against the devil trying to steal, kill, and destroy us. Trying to ruin our marriages, ruin our friendships, ruin our witness. Ruin our relationship with you. God, help us to fight. Make us strong. Prepare us for what you have next. God, help us to realize that the wilderness has a purpose. And you've been through it, and you'll be with us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.